Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah. You'll find 11 lines from the top of Daf Yud Gimel, more or less in the middle of the Omid. Before we begin the Mishnah, you might notice that there are some geometric forms already there, bow tie shapes, and on the side, you'll notice we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, Nosei topic heading, and Mivneh structural note, where we've written Shnei Halochas Shebalabayis Oymer L'Shliach Tnu, two examples where a person says to his agent, to a shliach, an emissary, an agent, give. Ulefnei shemagia meisa shliach, amishalech. And before the element, the item that was instructed to be given was given, so the owner died. We turn to the Mishnah. Ha'oimer tenu get ze liishti. Shtar shichur ze liavdi. A man says, give this divorce document to my wife. In other words, through this, I'm divorcing her. Or he says, give this document of freedom from slavery to my slave. And the man dies. Lo yitnu lachar misa. It's not to be given after his death. Tenu mona liish ploni. Give $100, if you will, to so-and-so, umes, and the owner dies. Yitnu liachar misa. So the gift of money is to be given even after the owner dies. The idea behind the get or the shtar shichur not being given after they die, this is because the effectiveness of the get and the shtar shichur is upon the receipt of those to whom it's being sent. If they receive it after the person dies, so the power that's vested in the document is no longer there. The one who is divorcing or the one who is setting free is no longer alive. So they cannot experience then the effects of the get, and the woman, instead of becoming a divorcee, she becomes a widow. The slave, he remains a slave, and if there are heirs, so the heirs take over ownership of the slave. When it comes to a gift of money, so there you're not focusing on the effectiveness of a particular document. It's a gift that can be given after the owner dies. The Gemara. Omar Rav Yitzchok Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei Derav. The mona in the Mishnah, the $100 that the Mishnah says is given even after the owner dies, that's provided that it's piled and set in a corner. That's a literal translation, but the idea is that the money is clearly identifiable. Rashi says, "V'hushitzvurun mono dekotoni masis and bitzvurun munochan hamloi saskino v'omar mono ze tenu leploni." The case of the Mishnah really is that the owner says, "Give this mona to so and so. Give this $100 to so and so." So when he says, "Give this $100 to so and so," we're referring to a specific $100 that is sitting in a corner, in a particularly identifiable location. The markings that you see, you'll notice there's a double underline. On the side, we explain shlavim, these are stages, levarer, dinoi, shel, rav. stages in order to explain Rav's halacha. That which the Mishnah says, give $100 to so and so and he dies, give it even though the giver has died. Hainu im hoyu tzvurin umunachem. That's if the money was clearly identifiable. The Gemara. B'mai askinan. Notice we have a long question here as well. What are we talking about? Ilema b'bori, if the speaker in the Mishnah was a healthy person. Ki tzivurin mayhavi holo moshach. Even if it's set up in a pile, what difference does that make? The receiver didn't do an act of acquisition. Moshach is didn't draw it unto himself. So nothing was accomplished. The person said, give this to so-and-so, but he then died before it was ever given. Why is the money to be given? We take a look at the Rashi, the Bori, Matnus Bori, b'metatalin, a gift given by a healthy person when you're dealing with portables, as opposed to land, when you're dealing with portables, yochol lachzer bo ad shiyimshoch. He can withdraw. He can back out until the receiver actually draws the item unto himself. V'yorsho nami motzi mahadebe aliba demando lesle mitzvah lekayim divrei hameis. The heir of the giver also can back out, so that if the owner dies before the money is given, it's then becomes the possession of the heir. And the heir could back out. Why does the Mishnah say that the gift is to be given? Assuming right now that we hold like the opinion that says the opinion that does not insist on the mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis. There is an opinion that says that there's a special commandment to fulfill the words of he who died. Assuming that we don't accept that, why is the Mishnah so insistent on the gift being given, giving us the impression that there's no back out? If the gift was being given by a bori, by a healthy person, healthy person gifts are subject to reversal. And we emphasize, and from the Mishnah, you get the impression that there is no reversal. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a person who is on his deathbed. When it comes to a person on his deathbed, so there are special provisions in the halacha that what he says must go through. Otherwise, people, because of their fear of death, any slight item, a thing that could upset them, for example, they're thinking that their instructions aren't going to be adhered to, can cause them to die sooner. Therefore, the halacha preempts that and says that what a shchiv meirah says is considered signed, sealed, and delivered. So maybe the Mishnah is talking about the gift being given by a shchiv meirah. Well, then, if that's the case, my iria tzivurin, why does the Mishnah, why does Rav say that the case of the Mishnah involves specific identified monies? Ki ein tzivurin nami. Even if the monies aren't piled up, the gift of money should still be given. Dehal kaimalon, we hold the divrei shchiv meirah kiksuvin. The words of the Shchiv Meirah are considered as if they've been written and given over, meaning it's a complete deal. Omar Rav Zvid, Li'oilom Bebori. We're continuing our analysis. That's why you see the double underline. The other shapes that you see, you have triangles and diamonds. On the side, they're explained that this represents a machlokes, Rav Zvid, and Rav Popa, b'mai askinon. So in triangles, you see Rav Zvid, and then two lines later, Rav Popa. And in diamonds, you see what we are talking about, either a bori or a shchiv meirah. So Rav Zvid says, the olam b'bori. Uchadirav Huna Omar Rav. We are talking about a Bori. And the explanation of the Mishnah along with the Halacha of Rav of Tzvurin is in accordance with another teaching of Rav. The Omar Rav Huna Omar Rav, Mono Li Biodcha, the money spoken about in the Mishnah, the $100, is $100 that is in your possession. Tenei lo leploni b'maymud shloshtan kona. Give the money that is in your possession. In other words, it's my money that's in your possession. What do we mean by my money that's in your possession? So right now, the thinking is that the halacha of maymud shloshtan. Maymud shloshtan means in the presence of all three. The owner, the one in whose possession the item, the money, is currently located, and the receiver. The maymud shloshtan, all three are together, but even without any additional gesture, just the mere speech, give the money, that my money that's in your possession, to so-and-so, that clinches the deal. This is true in the case of a pikadon, an entrusted item. So that the teaching of Rav, of Tzvurin, Umenochem, Bekeren Zavis, is a reference to specific money that has been entrusted to this party, who is receiving the instructions to give the money that's been entrusted to the receiver. We take a look at Rashi. B'maymud shloshtan kona u'kamen meforesh. Time later, the Gemara explains how this works, why this works, why this is effective as a means of transfer. U'tzvurin bo'inon. The idea of the money being piled and well and specific and identifiable, this is a requirement. Why? D'sova Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid here, who says that we're talking about a healthy person speaking, Lo'oma Rav Kono Elo B'Pikodon. Rav says that Monoli Biotchov, etc., Kono, he said that only in the case of a Pikodon. De Koni Le Kol Hecha De Ise. It becomes transferred wherever it may be. So the idea of Tzvurin is associated with the money being a pikadon, an entrusted amount of money. That which is an entrusted item is an item owned by the owner wherever it is. So that when the owner of the entrusted item, and in this case specific money that has been entrusted, when he says, I want you, the shomer, the one who is watching it, I want you to give it to so-and-so, it's effective. So that I think that you can say, in brief, the idea of tzvurin that Rav mentions here is because the Mishnah is working with the case of maymud shloshtan. The speaker in the Mishnah is the owner of the money. He's healthy. He's the owner of money that's been entrusted to a shomer, and he's talking to the shomer in the presence of the receiver, and says, give that money that I've entrusted to you, which is, as Rav says, tzvurin u'menochem b'keren zavis, I want you to give it to this fellow who's standing here. They're all three together, and it works even though no additional kinyan, no additional gesture of acquisition takes place. We continue in the Gemara. Rav Papa Omar, lo'olam b'shchiv meira. The speaker in the Mishnah is a deathly ill individual. Uche'idoch derav, and based on another teaching of Rav, Yomar Rav, Shchiv Meira Shomar Tnu Mono Leploni Mina Chosai. If a deathly ill individual says, give $100 of my possessions to so and so, Mono Ze, if it's a specific $100, this $100, nice them then, it's to be given. Mono Stam, if he says, give $100, he doesn't specify, Ein Nosnim. So you can't give The gift isn't to be given. Chayshinon were suspicious that Shema Mona Kovur Komar. Maybe the $100 was $100 that's buried somewhere in the ground, and that's the amount, that's the $100 he intended, and not the $100 that you decide to give in accordance with those instructions. So in order for the Matnas Shchiv Me'ar to be operative, it would have to be tzvurin umunochin. It would have to be a specific $100 in accordance with this other teaching of Rav Mono Ze. As the Gemara goes on, we are introducing a house shape. And by the way, if you need to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. The house marking highlights, as we explain on the side, Hezberim Loma Kol Echod Loi Omar Kamoi Hasheni. We had Rav Zvid and Rav Popo, each one explaining who the speaker in the Mishnah was. Rav Zvid saying a healthy individual, and the transfer was through the institution of Maimit Shloshton, and Rav Popo saying we're dealing with a Shchiv Meira in accordance with Rav's teaching that only if it's Mono Zeh do the words of the Shchiv Meira have legal power. Why does each one not say like the other? So you see, Rav Popa is focused on right now, and when you get to the second line from the top of Omid Beis, we'll then turn to Rav Zvid. The Gemara, Rav Popa, my time alo omar ki Rav Zvid. Why did Rav Popa say that the Mishnah is talking about a case of a Shchiv Meira and not say like Rav Zvid? We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Rav Zvid, of course, was saying that the Mishnah and Rav's halacha was talking about a bori. So why does Rav Popa see that we're talking about a Shchiv Meira? Answer, Kosovar Rav Popa, ki omar Rav. Rav Popa is of the opinion that Rav's halacha of Maimid Shloshtan lo shna b'milve v'lo shna b'pikadon. Contrary to what we said before, but we were speaking before in the name of Rav Zvid, Rav Popa feels that Maimat Shloshtan works not only when the owner is speaking to the shomer of a pikadon of an entrusted $100, but he's also it also involves a possibility, a case where the owner happens to be a lender of money, and he's speaking to the borrower who owes the money, and the lender is saying to the borrower, instead of paying me, pay this guy, and they're all three together. So you have Maimad Shloshtan, the three are standing together. The Malve is telling the Loive, the lender is the Malve, telling the Loive, the borrower, give the $100 to so and so. Now, when you're dealing with a halval, when you're dealing with a loan, the money that was loaned is not around right now. It's a debt. It's not be'en. It's not tangible. It's a debt. And as a result of that, for Rav Popa to explain, like Rav Zvid, that we're talking about a matnas bori, and through Maimed Shloshtan, Rav would not have required tzvurin umunachim, because Rav's din of Maimad Shloshtan Kaina works even with the case of the redirection of the payment of the halva. And the halva, milve lohoitson. Now, this is a phrase you see very often. You see it in Rashi here as well. When money is given as a loan, it's understood that as soon as it's given, it's already going to be spent. Lohoitson means to be spent, so it's not around. So Rav would never have said his halacha of tzvurin umunachin if we were talking about a case of a matnas bori given through Maimed Shloshtan. Therefore, to explain the Mishnah and Rav's qualification that it has to be tzvun umunachin, Rav Popa had to say that we're talking about a Shchiv Meira, and that a Shchiv Meira matona is effective only if it's mono zeh, a specific $100. And that's why Rav said, Tzvurin umunachim bekeren zvavzavis. For Rav Zvid, my time alone are Rav Popa. And here the Gemara turns its attention to Rav Zvid, who explained the din of Tzvurin umunachim as a matnas bori through Maimed Shloshtan? Why does he not learn like Rav Papa? Answer, Lo Misukla Masnisen B'Shchiv Merah. The Mishnah cannot be set up as talking about a case of a Shchiv Merah. Mimai, and how do you know that? Notice, by the way, we have a long answer marking, Midi Kotoni, from the Mishnah's, from the, what it says in the Mishnah. It says, Ha'oimer Tnu Get Zele Ishti Ushtar Shichru Zele Avdi Umeis Lo Yitnu Lachar Misa. The Reish of the Mishnah spoke about a man giving a get to his wife or a freedom document to his slave, and he's talking to a shaliach, and the Mishnah says that if the fellow dies, it shall not be given lachar misa. Who is the speaker in the Mishnah? And of course, whatever we say for the Reish applies for the to the safe as well, applies to the case of the money. Who's the speaker over here? Is it a shchiv merah? Is it a boring? So Rav Zvid was of the opinion that our Mishnah is talking about a bori, not about a shchiv merah. So now he's going to prove that. The Mishnah says that the get and the shtar shichur shall not be given li achar misa. Taimo demes. Why is it not to be given? Because the case involves the husband slash owner dying before it was given. Ha mechayim noisnim. However, if the owner slash husband did not die, it would be given. The agent to whom the get was charged doesn't have to consult any further with the husband. Do you still want me to give it? He made an instruction, give the get to my wife. That's it. He gives it, assuming that the husband doesn't die. And we further infer from here, Taima Diomar Tnu, the reason that if he remained alive, it would be given, is because the instruction was through the use of the word Tnu. Holo Omar Tnu Einoisnin. However, if, let us say, the word Tnu, which means give it, let's say that word wasn't used in the instruction, but rather he said, Kisvu get lishti, write a divorce document for my wife. Then, had he remained alive, we wouldn't do anything. Ah, ushchiv meira, when it comes to a person who's deathly ill, afagav de lo amar tnu noisnin, even without the tnu instruction, had the instruction been just kisfu getli, just write up a divorce document, we still would have given it. Disnan, and here we have a Tanaic source, and the main point in this Tanaic source is found at the end of the framed section. But it says, Barishona hayu omrim hayotze bekoilar, a person who's being taken out to be executed through by a government rule. Viomar, and the man says, Kisfu get liishti. Says, write up a get for my wife. He doesn't want his wife to become an almona. He doesn't want her to become a widow. He'd prefer that she be a divorcee, and there are reasons. There are different reasons for that. One, the popular reason is that he doesn't want her to become bound to his brother, the Yavam. So he's being taken out to be executed. He says, Kisfu get lishti. He doesn't say tenu. You don't hear the specific instruction, give it to her. That doesn't matter. They write it up and give it anyway. The man is so preoccupied with his impending death, he doesn't think about how exactly to word the instruction in the most accurate fashion. And we understand what his intention is by his merely saying kisfu get lishti. We understand that we not only write it but we'll give it to her also. Of course, before he dies. Chazru Lomar, they went on to say, Av ha-meforesh v'yotze b'shayar, even someone not being taken out to be executed, but he's on his way to an overseas journey or a caravan trip. These are points in time that a person is preoccupied with his other thoughts. He doesn't concentrate and focus on the exact proper language for a get to be given. So even if he says kisvu, will not only write it up, but also give it on his word. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer Af HaMasukan. Masukan means someone who is in danger health-wise. He's deathly ill. He is the Shchiv Mira. So what we see from this is that if we were talking about a Shchiv Mira, there would be no insistence on the word, on the instruction of Tenu. And yet our Mishnah used Tenu as the example. Must be then we're not talking about a Shchiv Mira. That is how Rav Zvid comes to his conclusion. Maskiflo Rav Ashi uma nemo londemas nisim Rav Shimon Shizurihi dilma rabbonani. Rav Ashi has an objection to Rav Zvid's conclusion. Who says that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rav Shimon Shizuri? It's true, according to Rav Shimon Shizuri, if it were a Shchiv Meira, we would not be insisting on Tenu. But according to the Rabbonan, after all, Rav Shimon Shizuri appeared only at the end of the source. The Rabbonan didn't cite the case of Mesukan. According to the Rabbonan, a Shchiv Meira would have to say Tenu. And our Mishnah, which used the example of Tenu, is in fact quite possibly talking about a Shchiv Meira. And as a result of that, Rav Zvid's conclusion that we're talking about a bori is not founded, and therefore, just to go over this last point again, the Mishnah could very well be talking about a shchiv meira, and that's why Rav insisted on Sivurin in accordance with the other teaching of Rav, that when a Shchiv Meira speaks about a gift, giving a gift of $100, it only is Mona Zeh, not Mona Stam. Gufa. Here we go over that which was mentioned earlier. On the side of our Gemara, we have our topic heading, Maimed Shloshtan. Gufo, Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav, Mono li biotcha, Teneu lo leploni b'maimet shloshton, Kona. Man says, you know, you have $100 of mine in your possession. I want you to give it to so-and-so. If all three are together, so the deal is clinched, and it must be given to that receiver. Instead of giving me the amount, give it to so and so who was standing right here. Omar Rovo, Mistabro Milse de Rav Bepikodoin, Avol Bemilve Loi. Rovo feels that Rav's halacha applies in the case of an item or money that has been entrusted. Pikodo means entrusted money, not money given to a borrower as a loan. And yet the Gemara says, "Elikim, Omar Rav Afilu Bemilve." The Gemara says, "Not like Rava." Elikim is an expression, a type of expression of oath. It's like saying, "I swear that Rav said his halacha even in the case of a milve." So that if a lender is speaking to a borrower in the presence of a third party and saying to the borrower, "Instead of paying me back the loan, give it to him," that will be binding, and the borrower is then obligated to give the money to the fellow standing by the side. Itmar Nami Omar Shmuel Mishmei de Levi. Shmuel, in the name of Levi, says, like the Gemara pointed out just now, Milve li biotcha, in your hands is a loan that I gave you. When we say it's in your hands, it doesn't mean literally in your hands, because once when a loan is given, as we said earlier in our shiur, it's assumed that it's spent immediately. So when we say in your hands means it's you have in your hands the obligation to pay back the loan. Instead of giving me the money, teneu lo leploni, give it to so and so, and that is said b'maimed shloshtan. They're all three together: the lender, the borrower, and the receiver. Kona, the acquisition takes place. In other words, it's binding. The taimo mai, what is the basis of this? How does this work? Rashi says, mai taimo bemilve kona. How in the case of a loan does it work? Ha lesa be'eino delikne. It's not extant. Be'ein, extant. It's not there. that we can say over it some type of kinyan is made, or that we say that the kinyan, that the transfer takes place on something specific. So how does Maimed Shloshtan work even in the case of Halva? You can see a new marking. We have a triangle, and the triangle will appear in an alternating direction as you go on in the Gemara. On the side, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading, and we've written as Beirim LeMaimed Shloshtan Echu Poel. How does Maimed Shloshtan operate? And the inverted triangle represents Kushos Al Kol Hesber. There are questions on each Hesber as they come forth. We've also used a numbering scheme. You can see on the side of the Gemara text triangles with numbers. We will be numbering up to number 3. We get to the Yud Dal Amud Aleph. You'll notice the triangle numbering. The Gemara. Omar Amemar. Nase ka'oimer lo b'shas matan mois. It's as if at the time the money was given, a loan was extended. So you have a lender giving money to the borrower. The borrower receiving the money, at that moment he says, Shabdan aloch ledidoch ulechol de'osu machmosoch. I make myself subservient. I bind myself to you and to anyone who comes as a result of your instructions. Machmasoch means and anyone that comes because of you. So that I'm bound, I'm mishubid, I'm bound to you and to anyone that comes as a result of your instructions. Alright, if that be the case, then we understand that the loan can be redirected, because at the very receipt of the loan, that was, we'll say, the kinyan that binds him, the borrower, to pay the third party. So that, as Rashi says, it becomes clear retroactively that at the initial giving of the money, he, the borrower, became bound to this receiver. The Gemara asks a question on this explanation. Hamalei Ravashi lameimar elo me'ata. Well, according to this, that the borrower is binding himself to whomever the lender says at that future time. Hikna le no lodim de lo havu b'shas matan mos hachi nami de lo konu. Let us say the lender at that future time says, I want you to give the money to this infant who was born today. Now, at the time the initial loan took place, the infant was not born. He's called no lodim. He wasn't there at the time the money was given. Are you going to say then that the instructions that are stated later on, when the lender finally speaks up, b'maimed shloshtan, and he says, give it to this infant who wasn't there at the time of the initial loan, are you going to say that the infant therefore is not kone? And the reason for assuming that is what you see in the brackets. And by the way, the bottom line is that the Maimed Shloshtan would work even in that case, even in the case of the infant. But if you're going to explain Maimed Shloshtan as as Amemar said, it wouldn't work. And yet we know that it does. According to Amemar's explanation, it's as if at the time of the initial extension of the loan, the giving of the loan, the borrower was committing himself to give it to whomever the lender would instruct. Now, but if the lender eventually instructs to give it to some recently born individual, according to the laws of Kenyan, the borrower would not be bound. What do we mean when we say according to the laws of Kenyan? So now let's read the bracketed section. Dafinu le Rebbe Meir di Omar Odom Makne Dovor Shelo Boli Olam. Even according to Rebbe Meir, who's rather extreme in his law, his view, or his, the laws of Kenyan, he says that you can transfer ownership of something, an item, that has not come to be in existence. For example, a person says, he looks at a fruit-bearing tree in the middle of the winter when there's no fruit on the tree, and he says, I'm selling you this tree with regard to the fruit that it will produce. So the fruit is not there. And yet, when the fruit does come out, it becomes owned by whoever paid money for it. Or a person says, I'm selling you all the fish that will be caught in my fish traps or my fish nets. The fish are acquired, even though at the time of the deal they were lo bali olam, they had not come into existence yet. Well, Rebbe Meir, who says the transfer of items, of we'll call them futures, is effective, that is good, but hani mili li davar sheyeshno ba'olam. That's provided you're making the deal, you're transferring it to someone that exists at the time the deal is being made. We emphasize the lamed. The lamed is the letter indicating the destination. Unto whom is the deal, is the item going to be received? So Rabbi Meir says you can be makne an item that is lo bali olam, an item that doesn't exist yet, provided you're making the deal with someone that does exist at the time you're making the deal. According to Amemar's explanation, that the borrower is committing himself to give the money to whomever the lender instructs, but that would be qualified then to someone that is in existence at the time the initial loan is extended. And yet, we know, we're working with a given, that Maimud Shloshdan will work when the instructions are issued, even if the receiver is someone that had just been born, meaning someone who had not existed at the time of the initial giving of the money, at the initial presentation of the loan. So how does Maimud Shloshdan operate, given that the ultimate receiver could be someone that was just born? Elo Omar Rav Ashi. We continue at the top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Behahi hano dekomishtanyo le bein milvi yeshana lemilvi chadosha gomar umishabed nafshei. We're speaking once again about a borrower who's going to end up giving the money to someone other than the initial lender. What is the mechanism that, we'll say, that binds the borrower to do thusly? So the Gemara explains, this was Rav Ashi's explanation, that the pleasure that the borrower has in knowing, in realizing now, that he's going to have more time in which to pay back the loan than he initially had. Had the lender remained silent, so there's a due date that comes and he has to pay back the loan. Now that the lender said, instead of paying me the money, give it to so-and-so, the assumption is you'll give it to so-and-so at a later point in time than right now giving it back to me. So the lender, the borrower, feels he just got an extension. And in exchange for the pleasure, the hanah that he gets in having an extension, he's very, very willing to bind himself to pay the money to this new receiver. Omar le Huna mor braid Rav Nechemya le Rav Ashi. So Huna asks on this analysis, Ela Me'ata, well, according to what you just said, Kagon Hani de Bay Bar El Yoshiv, de Kafti Vishakli Lialter. It's a family called the House of Bar El Yoshiv. They were people that had very little patience. They, if they were the receivers, they would force the payment to be made immediately. Oh, so there we lose our explanation of loan extension. So according to your analysis, that's namely Rav Ashi's analysis of Maimit Shloshtan, if the receiver, the third party, the ultimate receiver of the loan money would be members of this family, are you going to say that it's not going to work? Let's read that in the Gemara. Hochinami delo kanu. If the receiver would be from the Bar El Yoshiv family that insist, kafti v'shakli l'altu, they force immediate payment, are you going to say that they would not be in effect receivers because the borrower would not bind himself because he doesn't have the pleasure of an extended loan? V'chitema hochinami, if you say that's right, that if there's a Bar El Yoshiv family member receiver, so the Maimed Shloshtan won't work. Well, they named Cain, Nosata Devorecha Lishurim. Well, then you've made a law being very subjective. And laws are not designed to be subjective. That's the objection when you see the expression, and you find it from time to time throughout the Shas, Nosato Devorecha Lishurim, literally means you've made your words subject to different quantities, meaning it's not uniform. According to your analysis, Maimed Shloshtan then would be dependent on the insistence level of the receiver. If someone is very insistent, very intolerant, very demanding, so it won't work. If someone is less demanding, more tolerant, then it will work. Well, we can't have halachas that are established in such subjective terms. So that can't be the explanation. Elo Omar Marzutra. Hani Tlas Mili. Marzutra says the following 3 points. Shavinu Rabbonon Ki Hilchus Sebelo Taimo. They've instituted halachas as if they were Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, as if there was some kind of oral tradition from Mount Sinai that you don't have to give reasons for them. So that we're dealing with halachas that in truth are rabbinic, and in these three cases there are three rabbinic rulings without any given obvious reason for them. So we don't have to research how it operates. Just understand that when A tells B, give the money to C, and they're all three present, C receives it. What are the three halachas? Chadaha, number one is this halacha of Maimed Shloshtan, transfer of money in the presence of three, as we've described. Number two, idach. The next one is the Omar of Yehuda Mar Shmuel HaKosev Kol Nechosov LeIshto, a man who assigns all of his property to his wife. Does that mean that the wife then becomes the owner of all of his properties? No. Lo aso ela apotropio. He is in effect assigning her, making her, appointing her to be the executor of his possessions, of his estate, of his properties, so that she can buy and sell as an executor would do, even though it appears from the language of his statement, if he writes a shtar to this effect, that he's giving her ownership of everything. But as we said, that's not the case. And there's no reason for that, per se. That's just a given. And number three, V'idach, the third halacha, the Amar Rav Hananya, Hamasi Isha Livnoi Godol Bebayis Konoi. A man marries off a woman to his son, to his eldest son. And the marriage is conducted in a house that the father owns. By the father marrying the son off to this bride in his house, Rashi adds, there are a number of qualifications. When you look into the halacha, there's quite a bit more detail to under what circumstances this operates. But the idea here is that when a father marries off his eldest son, and he does so in a specific house, Kono, the son, becomes the owner of that house. And that is the third example of what we call Hilchasa Beloi Taimo. It's a halacha, it's a halachic ruling. There's no specific or obvious reason. The rabbis ruled this shall be as thusly, and that's it. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.